My. Jordan, you're just getting better and better.
Amen.
Better and better. Appreciate that. Thankful for the blood tonight. Really, there's none of us that are worth anything outside the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was just thinking the other day, why in the world the Lord called me to preach when I'm such a struggler in so many ways. And just His mercy, His grace. It's just Him. It's all Him tonight. Well, it's good to be saved. I say that all the time, but can I tell you, it's just good to be saved tonight. And just know that when it's all said and done, we're going to be in a better country, in a better place. And really, I'm getting where I'm more anxious for it. I get more alienated every day as we go along. I get a little bit more a stranger to this place. Some of you older fellas can probably relate to that just a little bit. This feels like it's too high, Brother Mike. I almost feel like I'm in a barrel. Could you help me? Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just me, but it seems a little different than what it was this morning. But seem like I get more out of place all the time. Technology's passed me by, and really the social levels have passed me by. I can't stand to text. Brother Allen, it takes me half a day to text a message. Whatever happened to just making a phone call and talking? Well, it's passed me by, you know. I notice Brady'd rather text his call. When he calls his daddy, he'll text him. He don't call him. I don't understand that, Brady. I just don't understand it. But I guess I'm a dinosaur, so to speak, I guess. And so social, all that social media stuff passed me by. And I'm just kind of out there somewhere. But I'm going to a place where I'm going to fit in one of these days. Hallelujah for that. Well, just glad I'm saved. Glad I'm saved. When I get there, I'll be up to date. I'll be caught up, bud, when I get there. I'll be as smart as the rest of them are. And so, it's just good to be saved. Good to see you, Sister Sharon. You slipped in on me here. I heard she was sick. Her and Nick was sick, and so it's good to have you with us tonight. I've got a burden on my heart. I don't know. Really, I could get lost in this message, and it's really a simple message, and probably can get you lost in it if it really comes down to it. I'm going to 2 Timothy tonight. It's where I'm going to try to preach from. And the Lord showed me some things in that book, and I don't know if I can get them across to you or not, but I'm going to try to. And I want to talk to you tonight about truth. The Apostle Paul lived in a time where false doctrine was prevalent. Judaism was the doctrine, if I could say it. They had twisted the scriptures around and was preaching the work salvation. And the Apostle Paul was bringing in truth. And so truth was fighting against a majority of error. And I started thinking, is that not where we're at today? Are we not where the early apostles and the early church was at? That false doctrine is on every hand, even amongst religious people, and we're trying to stand for the truth. Is that not where we're at? I mean, that's my burden. And when you come to 2 Corinthians, and I mean 2 Timothy, and I'll show you in just a minute, it's as if Paul, getting ready to leave, really the letter, I've come to believe it's dealing with the truth. And I might ask you this, why is the truth so important? Why is the truth so important? I'll read you just a couple of things. By the way, Jesus in the intercessory prayer said, "Thy word is truth." And so when we're talking about the truth, could we be talking about the Word of God? Sure, that is what we're talking about. Those two are could be one and the same, are one and the same. Truth equals the Word of God. I believe we'd have to say that, would we not? Well, why is the truth important? So what? Let everybody believe what they want to believe, and let's just do our thing and them do their thing, and that's about where we've come to. But the truth has power. The truth has spiritual power. The truth can change your life. In fact, some of you who have adhered to the truth has changed your life. It's changed who you are. It's changed how you raise your children. It's changed the way you carry out the work of the Lord. It's changed your what you do with your spare time. The truth has done that for you. The Bible says, I'm going to read a few of these in Psalm 119, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." If you want to clean up your life, heed the Word of God. That's what it's saying. The Word of God. Hey, can I tell you this? The truth can clean you up. It can clean you up. Some of God's people are dirty and they need cleaning up. And the way you get cleaned up is it's the truth. Well, verse 12, verse 11, you were right. Kelly Beth, I believe you one told me as verse 11 here the other day. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." People poke at children memorizing the scriptures and make light of that, but can I tell you, that gives the Holy Spirit something to work with. That's right. And so be careful about poking about that, because here the Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart." I guess that's memorization. "That I might not sin against thee." Can I tell you what the truth will do? It'll keep you from sinning. It'll keep you from sinning. And all through this book, those of you that are Bible students, you know the things that the Word of God, you can just read what all it says. "The entrance of thy words giveth light." Well, I don't understand. Well, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. The Word of God will give you understanding when you don't understand. Here's what I'm trying to get you to see. The Word of God is powerful. I could just flip through all of these and read them to you, and the Word of God will delight you. The Word of God will make you wiser than the ancients. The Word of God, it's all powerful. So therefore, if the truth can do all those things, would you think the devil would want to fight the truth? And do you think, really, let's just stop a minute. Do you think the devil has fought truth in Blount County? I mean, really, as a whole, do we have spiritual truth in Blount County? Can I answer it for you? No. We don't have. And I don't care what anybody says and however they want to attack it. We do not have the truth predominantly in Blount County. We don't have. Well, what do we do about it? That's my burden on my heart. What do we do about it? How is it we go about combating error? How did Paul do it? In 2 Timothy, he tells Timothy how to do it. How is it we go about combating and promoting the truth? And so that's kind of where I'm at. That's the burden of my heart as we come to 2 Timothy. And I have got a little message here, but I'm probably going to jump around on it. And here's kind of where the Lord spoke to me at in my reading, and that is in 2 Timothy verses 24 through 26. And I want to pray real quick. Father, in Jesus' name, help me. Help me, Father, to have clarity of thought and clarity of speech. Help me, Father, to get this message out the way that in the Spirit You would have me to, and open the hearts of Your people and help them to be able to follow, Father. And I understand that this is kindly could get lost, Father. We could get lost tonight in the reading and going through the text, but please help us. And You get glory and honor and praise out of all that's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to ask you this. Do we have a responsibility to the truth? Now, I believe the Bible says in 1 Timothy 3, is it 3:15, where it says the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, we're talking about spiritual truth, of course. But if you want truth, the place to find that at is in a God-honoring church. And it's the pillar, holds it up, and it's the ground. And is God's people not the light of the world? I mean, are we not supposed to be a light that shines out and reveals truth and light? The Word of God's the light. And so we're to deliver the light. We could talk about the seed and the sower. And we're supposed to sow seed, and that's the Word of God. And so we have a responsibility individually and as a church to get the Word of God out. And so when that is the burden of my heart. Doctrinal errors everywhere around, just as it was in Paul's day. And we have the truth. What do we do? And how do we do? That's where I'm at tonight. And so, as I came down to verse number 24 is where I want to read my text. And the Bible says this, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. But by the way, up in verse 14, it tells us to strive. The last part of verse 14 says that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Now, striving is competing and challenging and trying to outdo. And so the Bible says in verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. Apt to teach. Patient. In meekness, instructing. Now listen to this verse. This is the one, the next two verses is the one that really, really spoke to my heart. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Now, really, when you study that out, that I could read it this way and it would be right. In meekness, instructing those that themselves oppose the truth. That's really the twist on that verse. Now, you can take that or leave it for what, however you want to look at it, but that's really what's being said there, instructing those that themselves oppose truth. Because we're talking about truth all through chapter 2. And then it goes on and said, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And so here they are opposing truth, and the man of God is used to instruct them and in a particular way
so that they will acknowledge truth. And notice what it says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, which are taken captive by him at his will. Now, here's what it says. Here's what it's basically saying. When they oppose truth and they refuse to accept truth, they're ensnared. Because truth does what? It cleanses. It keeps you from sin. It makes the simple wise. And I should have just made a long, went through the whole chapter and made a long list and just read every one of them to you. But if you refuse truth, then you're ensnared. According to this, that they may recover themselves. They may recover themselves. I mean, they have a responsibility when God grants them repentance, opens their eyes and shows them, then they have a responsibility, and they're the only ones that can be, that can recover themselves. Out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. When you refuse the truth, you become a captive. You become a captive to the devil. Now think about all the people in our county and across this land that don't have truth, and they're caught in a snare and they're taken captive by the devil. By the way, I'm convinced we're talking about saved people here. I'm convinced of that. They're saved people who are in a sense. Now, I'm not saying they've lost their salvation. Don't you twist my message and go off and say something wrong. But they are ensnared and they're in captivity to the devil because they've embraced truth and refused error. Now, I believe that's what that text says. Now, you say, well, they're just good people and they're doing okay. And no, they're not doing okay. They're in error. If you've got loved ones in an erroneous doctrinal church, they're ensnared and they're captives of the devil. I believe that's what Paul's saying to young Timothy. And he's telling young Timothy to do something about it. He's telling him to do something about it. And so I want us to look at 2 Timothy from the perspective of fighting false doctrine with the truth. Because that's what it's about. I've never seen this before, never read it before, but I'm as sure, I'm as convinced of what I'm telling you as I am standing up here. And I want you to look at some text verses with me. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words. There's the truth. Would you agree with me? That's truth, sound doctrine, healthy doctrine. That's the truth. I want you to look in chapter 2 and verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Is that not dealing with the truth again? Sure it is. I want you to look at verse 14 and 15. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Now are we talking about truth again? I think we are. Let's look in verse 15 and 16 and 17. Study to show thyself proved unto God a workman. Needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Is that a verse about truth? Doctrinal truth? Sure it is. Look in verse 17, 16, 17. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and the word will eat as doth a canker. There again, we're talking about doctrinal error and truth versus truth. I want you to look in verse number 23 and 25. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife in her text, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Again, truth and error. Look in chapter 3, verse 7. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Through the whole book, here's what I'm trying to get you to see. I've got verse 8 and verse 13. Let me just give you those. Verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. They resist the truth. Look in verse 13. But evil men, seducers, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Look in chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. What's another name for the word? Truth. There's a verse about truth. For the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine. There's truth again. Verse 4, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now here's where I'm at. Here's what the Lord showed me. Here's a man dying, writing to a young preacher, and he's saying this, you defend the truth. You shun false doctrine, but you promote the truth and you spread the truth. And so that's where I kind of want to go tonight. How do we do that? Who does that? And how is it done? Number one, I want to say this. It takes a particular person to spread truth. Not everybody. Now I understand. I know what maybe some of you are thinking. This is a preacher talking to a preacher. You're right. But can I tell you this? Do you not believe we all have a responsibility to spread truth? Do you not believe that what's good for the preacher is good for the layman or for the saint that's sitting on the pew? Do you not believe that what's good for the preacher is not good for them? Well, I didn't get no amens on that, but most of it is. I know there's some qualifications for a preacher. It's different than the saints, but I'm talking about as far as spreading truth. Well, here we are sitting in the county full of error. What do we do? Well, we're just a little handful of people. If I was Timothy, I'd say, Paul, I'm just one man. What do you expect me to do? I'm just one person. Well, having said that, I want to go back, and with that in mind, I want to work my way through and then come down to through chapter 1, come down to the second chapter, and that's where I want to spend a little time. Now, I want you to notice what Paul said in chapter 1 and verse 6. He said, wherefore, now this is a young preacher. He's struggling. He's really a little bit ashamed, I believe, and a little bit backward. And really, if we'd be honest, a lot of God's people's a little bit ashamed and a little bit backward about standing for the Lord. Now, you wouldn't dare want to say you're ashamed of the Lord, but really, you are a little bit. You're a little bit ashamed. And I'm not saying, oh, please don't come up and say, well, bless God, I'm not ashamed. I'm not saying that's 100%, but I'm saying a lot of God's people are. And so here's Paul. He's getting ready to die. Keep in mind, he's getting ready to die, and he spends his last words telling Timothy what to do with the truth. He didn't tell him. And notice what he tells him. Every verse you can tie to the truth. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. Verse 6, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear. Apparently he was a little afraid. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. And so he's saying this. In relation to the truth, he's saying, Timothy, if you're going to do anything about spreading truth in this county or in Israel, as far as Timothy's concerned, or in the area he was working in, for us in our county, you're going to have to stir yourself up. Whatever grace God's given you, whatever truth He's given you, you're going to have to stir up whatever gift He has sent your way. You're going to have to stir it up. You can't be on the stool of do nothing and make a difference with the truth. You've got to stir it up. You've got to stir it up. How do you stir it up? You use it. Now he's saying, hey, there's error everywhere. You need to stir up the gift. And then number two, you need to quit being a coward. You need to quit being a coward. And we hide behind a lot of things. Well, I just didn't want to be offensive. Fact of the matter is, we're cowards many times. Now, that's a hard pill to swallow. I had a preacher, and if I was to call his name, you would say, no, not him. I called him up and was talking to him, and he said this, I just asked the Lord this morning to help my cowardice. That's what he said to me. Been preaching 40, 50 years. And he's a hero of some of y'all's. But he said, I was praying, asking the Lord to help me not be a coward. Now don't tell me we don't struggle with fear. I know we do. And I only told you that so you could maybe be honest with your own self about the truth. We're just cowards sometimes. And Paul told Timothy, don't be a coward. Don't let fear get you. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but the power and love. Now, this is all about defending the truth. And he said, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as a prisoner. There's a lot of people ashamed to be identified with God's people. That's really the truth. They're ashamed to be identified with the old-time way. And here's what Paul told this fellow. He's getting ready to die. He said, don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of the message I preach, and don't be ashamed of me. That's what he said. But I want you to notice what he did say. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Now you say, why did he tell him to endure hardness? Why did he tell him not to be entangled? Because here's the truth. When you start proclaiming truth, it brings persecution. It's just how it is. You start declaring truth and you stand firm on it, even if you do it God's way, it's going to bring persecution to your life. Here's what he said, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. That's why some of us don't say anything, because it stirs up too much stink, if I can say it that way. It just stirs everybody up if you take a stand for the truth. Now, they can say whatever they want to say. They can tell you whatever they want to tell you. But the fact of the matter is, when you stand for truth, it causes people to flare up on you. They don't like it. And so Paul said, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. And so he's saying these things. And then he comes down to verse 11. He said, whereunto I'm appointed a preacher. You know what a preacher is, don't you? He proclaims truth. Preacher proclaims. He's a proclaimer. And an apostle, that's a sent one, and a teacher. So he proclaims truth and he teaches truth. Now notice what it says, what he tells him there. A teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. He said, the reason I'm suffering is because I proclaimed and I taught truth. It brings suffering when you declare truth. And so we don't do it in the day we live in. I believe I'm close on that. But here's what he said. I was appointed a preacher and a teacher, and for the Gentiles, for the which cause, I also suffer these things. But he said this, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. He said, I'm suffering like I've done something wrong, but I'm not ashamed because I'm suffering because I've stood for the truth and I pushed the truth and I proclaimed the truth. And so Then he comes to verse 13. He's told him, be partakers of the affliction of the gospel in verse 8. And he said in verse 11 to 12, the reason I've suffered is because I've been a preacher and a teacher of the truth. And then he comes down in verse 13 and he tells Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words. He didn't say, now listen, back off. Just let them talk. You don't say anything. If it's not of God, it'll die out. No, they didn't say, hey, if it's not of God and it'll die out. You know, they said, if this thing's of God, then you can't stop it. But if not, it'll die out. Well, there's a lot of things not of God that's not died out yet. Now it will when He comes and He straightens things out. There's a lot of denominations that's in error and damning millions of folks to hell, but it hasn't died out yet. Now that's the truth. I've forgotten which one of them rulers said that, but he's a little bit sideways on his theology when he said that. Well, here's what he said to Timothy. He said, I'm suffering because I've stood for the truth. You need to be a partaker of the afflictions. Quit being a coward. Don't let fear over. We've not been given a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and sound mind. Don't be ashamed of me or the message. And stir up the gift that's within you. Why is Paul telling him that? Because Paul is concerned about the truth. You remember what it says in Acts 5 that they filled these men, this is what they said about them, these men have filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. Well, I want to say this, the devil's filled Blount County with his doctrine. And we're just sitting here doing nothing. And if you want me to sit down and you preach this message to me, I'll hang my head. But here he is, and he's getting ready to die. He's getting ready to leave. And he's saying this to him, hold fast the form of sound. I'm telling you, we're challenged to hold to the truth today. Even on church, you know who one of the greatest enemies of the truth in your life is? Your own church members. Your own church members. They will attack you. It is amazing. It is amazing who I have heard have attacked our dress code and attacked the fact of our homeschool. It's amazing. It's not been the worldling, but it's been the church member. Well, that's real quiet. You wouldn't have thought that, would you? I'm going to tell you, when you do right, it's attacked. And so here he is, and the truth's at stake. And I'm going to tell you, the truth's at stake in Blount County. I'm trying to make this as personal to us as we can because it became very personal to me when I started studying this out. And so Paul's saying, hey, I've run my race, finished my course, and all that. And he's saying, here's what you need to do. And so he's saying that, and he's letting him know that persecution is coming. I want you to notice in chapter 2, verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And then he says this to Timothy, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even under bonds, but the word of God is not bound. He's telling him again, hey, I'm suffering as an evildoer because of the gospel that I preached, the truth. And here's what I want you to understand, the Lord has placed a responsibility on His church to spread truth. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. We're the light of the world. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. And mind, you could just pick it out everywhere, but those of us who have truth, we're not doing what we've been told to do, I think because it brings persecution. All right, let's get started in chapter 2, and I want to just give you some truth out of this. And maybe you'll call this a lesson, or I don't know what it is, but it's the burden of my heart. I know that. And so Paul says in chapter 2, he's already told him the things I've told you. Don't be afraid. We're not given the spirit of fear, but a power and sound mind. And he's telling him, hold fast the form of sound words. He's telling him to be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. And he's letting him know that he suffered because of spreading the truth. But now we're going to come down in chapter 2, and he's going to tell him some things to do if he's going to be successful in spreading the truth. Now I want to ask you this. I want you to be perfectly honest with me. So far in the 6 months of this year, have you been successful in spreading truth? And I don't want to answer from you, but I just want you to answer it to yourself. I mean, can you say, preacher, I have spread the truth. I know it's upset folks. I know they've become angry. They've even lashed out at me. But I've stood true and I've declared the truth. And I've never sat there with my mouth shut when I should have spoke up. Have we done that? Well, you're looking at the preacher's not done a good job of that. Now, you may say, I've done great. And if you have, God bless you. But here's what Paul's going to tell Timothy. Here's some things you need so you can declare truth and suffer successfully for my glory. Now, I want you to notice verse number 2. The first thing he said is be strong. Now, I've asked myself a whole bunch, how is it you just be strong? I think one thing, you gird up the loins of your mind. You get it in your head, hey, I'm going to suffer when I declare truth. Hey, when we go out and knock on doors, you have to get, if I can use an old worldly, carnal, maybe I shouldn't even use it, but you have to get your game face on. You have to get prayed up. You have to get some boldness about you, knowing that there's going to be folks that slam the door in your face, that tell you to get off their property or whatever, maybe even curse you. But you pray and ask God to help you, and you get yourself under the power of God and the strength of God, and you go in His name, and it helps you when persecution comes. And then we find out it really wasn't as bad as we thought many times. But sometimes it is. Sometimes it is. And so here he says, be strong. I don't know how many strong Christians we had. I wonder if the Holy Spirit could come down here and stamp a W or S in our forehead, weak or strong. I wonder how many strong Christians we would have. I really wonder what he'd stamp my forehead. I really wonder that. But here's what he's telling this fella, and he's getting ready to die. And he's telling him, be strong. And then he's saying, endure. And then he tells him this. He gives him the way he wants him to do it. He says this in verse 2, commit thou to faithful. And the things that thou, I'm going to read the whole verse, I guess. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, who are the faithful men? Okay, you've been told to take the truth you have and commit it to faithful men. Tell me who they are. Did you know a lot of people, you'll try to commit, a lot of folks you think are faithful, and you'll try to commit truth to them so they can commit it to their children and their grandchildren. They're not faithful at all. And if they're not faithful, they're going to rear up on you. That's how it is. When you go about committing truth to faithful men who commit it to the next generation, I'm telling you, you don't know who's faithful until you give them truth and see what they do with it. And if they're unfaithful, you'll be persecuted. You'll be afflicted. Paul knew that. He said, the way you do it is commit it to men. You commit truth to men who shall be able to teach others also. They have to be faithful. They have to be teachable. Some people's not teachable. You can't tell them anything. Isn't that so? Have you ever seen folks? You couldn't teach them anything. They wouldn't listen. They know more than you know. You can't tell them nothing. They can't help you. How are you going to commit something to faithful men when they're not teachable? They have to be teachable. If they're not teachable, they're going to rear up in your face. And then they have to be willing to teach others. Some has great knowledge or good knowledge. I won't say great knowledge, but a good knowledge. They're unwilling to teach. It's not just anybody Paul's telling him to commit the truth to. It's a particular man. Not everybody qualifies. And as you're working with the truth and trying to find faithful men, can I say this to you? You're going to find unfaithful men who are going to persecute you. Now I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to me. You've got to be willing to teach the truth. That's what he said. Teach it to faithful men who can teach it to other men. Now I know we're looking at a preacher here. Don't run me in the ditch. But there's folks that listen to you that won't listen to a preacher. Here's what they'll say. That's what a preacher's supposed to do. That's what a preacher's supposed to say. But you being a saint, they can't say that about you. They can identify with you. And so here's what Paul's saying. Here's the way I want you to do it. You give the truth to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And then he comes right behind that because he knows it's going to bring persecution. And he says this, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier, Jesus Christ." Oh my. He's telling him to endure hardness now. Why? Because he's committing truth to faithful men. And it's not always faithful men he thinks are faithful that are faithful. And then he said this, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." Not only do you endure hardness, but don't get out of focus. This work's so great, don't waste your time talking about politics, talking about the economy, talking about the sports scene, talking about the Hollywood scene. Don't waste your time on that. Stay unentangled from that crowd. Am I preaching hard to you? Am I being mean-spirited? I'm not trying to. I'm just stirred. Hey, God's people's more concerned about the television set than they are lost souls. They're more concerned about Hollywood and lost souls. They're more concerned about the ball team than lost souls. They're more concerned about their leisure and their ease and their relaxation than they are lost souls. He said, stay unentangled. Don't. What does it mean to be unentangled? I just asked myself that question. Am I unentangled from the world? How do you get tangled up in the world? When you get tangled up, it's hard to get loose. It's anything that's hard for you to get loose from. He said, hey, we've got a job of spreading and casting out the truth. Don't get bogged down. That's almost a joke, isn't it? Isn't that almost a joke, really, if we'll be honest? How many of us are just bogged down? We've got so much to do, we really don't have time to serve God. I mean, really and truly. Just be honest about it. We can't get help if we're not honest. We're just too busy to serve God. I mean, really, we've got to do this with the grandkids, and we've got this, and then we've got to work around the house to do, and we've got to go check on this one and that one, and I've got to fix my toy that tore up, and I'm just thinking just what's coming to my mind, and really, we're entangled. And the weeks go by, and we say this, man, where'd the week go? Really, can we not say where? The year's half gone. Would you agree with me? Basically, I mean, we got another day or two, but the year's half gone. And here's what I'm saying. Oh my, where did it go? Where'd the year go? I'm going to tell you where it went. I was so entangled, it just flew by. That's one of the tricks of the devil. We don't preach on this entanglement enough because we're entangled. But here he's trying to help this man with the truth. And he said, hey, when you're committing to faithful men, you better be sure you've got this down. You better be strong because you're going to have to endure hardness. And you're going to have to stay unentangled. You can't spread truth with your mind spreading 5, 6, 7 different ways. That's why we miss opportunities. Our minds go in every direction. Well, y'all looking at me odd, but I'm telling you right. You know it's right. I experience it and you experience it. Have you ever stuck a handful of tracts in your pocket and come back home and hadn't handed out one of them? Because you were so engrossed and your mind was going so many directions, you didn't have time to spread the truth. I'm guilty. Here's what he told Timothy. Stay focused. Don't get entangled. Don't get entangled. And then in verse 5, he says, now if you're going to do the work, you're going to have to do it lawfully. You're going to have to do it according to the Word of God. You can't just pick your way of doing things. You're going to have to do it my way. That's a message within itself right there. And so what he's doing is preparing this young man to carry on the truth, to keep spreading the truth. What Paul is really concerned about, he's concerned about Timothy, but his primary concern is about the truth. Why? Because it's the truth that changes lives. And the devil wants error because if he gets error in abundance, no lives are going to be changed. And the Bible says that they're going to be ensnared and they're going to be captive of the devil. And that's so. Well, I'm trying to get to the end of this thing. And now he gives you the priority. I've always wrestled around with verse 6, but really when you study it out, it's pretty simple. I'm going to put a word in just to make it in our language. And it says this, the husbandman that laboreth must be first, then partaker of the fruits. Labor has to come before harvest. That's how it is. Well, Ridgeview Baptist, what have we done for the harvest? What labor? Let's sit down, just put our labor down that we've done to reap a harvest. We've not done much. I'm thinking, I don't know what y'all do during the week. I know, Brother Bud, you're active with tracts. I know that. And so I know you're sowing some seed. But I want to say I think a lot of us are inactive. And here's what he's telling Timothy. The labor, you have to, let me read it to you again. The husbandman that laboreth must be first, then partaker of the fruit. Now, I put a word in there, and I'm not changing the Bible. I'm not twisting it. I'm just trying to get you to see what I think the Scriptures say. He's saying, hey, you've got to work if you want to see the truth go forward. There's got to be some effort put out. And then he tells him again in 8 and 9, hey, I've suffered for standing for the truth. But notice the word he uses in verse 10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake. That's the same thing he told him to do in verse 2. Thou therefore endure hardness. He said, I endure all things for the elect's sake. And so he's preparing Timothy for the truth. I'm afraid the reason we don't spread truth, we're not prepared to spread truth. We're not strong. You're going to have to pray and get some spiritual strength from the Lord. And then he says this to Timothy, and he's telling Timothy to put them in remembrance. charging them before the Lord, I'm in verse 14, that they strive not about words to no profit. Now he's told him some things to do, now he's telling him some things not to do. Don't get in little quibbles over petty things that people bring up about the Scriptures. All it is a distraction. But he said, if you're going to strive, you strive to the subverting of the hearers. You work hard to subvert the hearers. And then he said in verse 15, study. Get truth. How are we going to spread truth if we don't have it? And I understand the preacher ought to be ahead, I guess, of the saints on his study. But can I tell you, God expects you to study. He expects you to know what the Word of God says. You're running into people all the time in error. Can you tell them why they're in error? Or do we just have to not say nothing because we don't know nothing to say? We can't say, hey, here's why I believe what I believe. Here's what the Word of God says. What do y'all make out of that? I mean, how does that fit? We can't do that because we don't know it. We've not studied. Verse 16, he tells him to shun profane, vain babblings. Hey, don't get in an argument over something that there's no value in. Don't do it. It's not worth it. Can you help people when you all are in argumentation, if I can make up a word, when you all are arguing, can you help people? They've got that wall up, and it don't matter what you say, you're not going to do any good at all. Can I just tell you that? Not in the spiritual realm. It's just not going to work. And there's folks that can really, if I can say it, they can push your buttons. Hey, we're living in a county of false doctrine. Well, y'all looking at, well, there's some good people out there. They may be good people, but they're caught up in error. And good people can get caught up in error and do get caught up in error. I can show you that in the Scripture. And so he said, shun in verse 16. And let's go on down to verse 20. In verse 20 and 21, he says, purge yourself from dishonorable vessels. In this thing of serving the Lord, there's honorable vessels and dishonorable vessels. There's people really go to church every Sunday and they bring a reproach to the name of Christ. There's people that claim to be a Christian use little old smutty four-letter words like they're just common language. I'm going to tell you, God's not pleased with that. God's not pleased with that. You know what they're doing? They're trying to fit in with the world and fit in with the church. They're bringing a reproach on the Lord. Amen. How it is. There's vessels of dishonor. You've all heard people who said, or at least stories of people said, well, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want to be one. That's a vessel of dishonor. Well, they're no different than me. I've even heard that. They're no different than me. They're just like we are. You can't tell no difference in them. That's a vessel of dishonor. We are representing the Lord with our lives, aren't we? Or we're supposed to be. Isn't that right? I mean, when you walk out the door and you go on your job this week, you're an ambassador. According to the Bible, you're standing in the Lord's stead. You ought to act like the Lord would act if He is working your job. And he said, here's what you do. You separate from them dishonorable vessels. Yeah, but that's my friend. That's my family. That's my associate. Here's what he said. If they're bringing dishonor to the Lord, you separate from them. Now, that's a hard thing, and most God's people don't think enough of the Lord to do that. They really don't. I mean, that's family comes ahead of the Lord. I mean, it's just, I've accepted that as a way of life. And the family is a blessing from the Lord, but it ought not come ahead of the Lord. And that's how it is. And so here he is. He says, separate from those vessels of dishonor. And he tells him, flee youthful lust. Flee youthful lust. What is youthful lust? What do youth struggle with? I mean, just put yourself, let's go back to high school. What do you struggle with? Immorality? Going through puberty and all those things and life's changing? You struggle with that? Is that a youthful lust? What about visions of grandeur? I want to be rich, chase the dollar. By the time I'm 40, I'm going to be a millionaire. What about that? What about, man, I just want to play. I just want to have a good time. Those are all youthful lusts that God's people, if they're not careful, they'll get caught up in. Here's what he told Timothy, and I think he was young, and maybe that's unfair to say some of those things to us older folks, but the fact of the matter is, if you're not careful, you'll get caught up in youthful lust. Hey, by the way, what did Paul say he did when he became a man? Somebody said it, I heard. He put away childish things. Where is that at today? It's no wonder the truth is suffering. It's no wonder the seed's still in the barn. It's no wonder false doctrine's taking over. It's no wonder. Paul said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. I quit being a kid. That's what he said. Well, here's Paul. He's getting ready to die, and he's concerned about the truth. And he's telling Timothy the things he has to do if he's going to be an ambassador or one who is used to carry the truth on. And he said, you're going to have to purge yourself. You're going to have to flee youthful lust. But then, really what he's saying in verse 22, your life's going to have to back up what you teach and preach. That's really what he's saying. It's going to be a foolish thing. And I understand the man of God's not perfect. Nobody understands that any better than me. But I want to say this. He ought to live as close as he can to what he's preaching. And if you're preaching one thing and living another, I promise you your actions are speaking much louder than your words are. I promise you that. And that's really what he's saying there. He's telling him, hey, keep the truth coming. Make sure your life lines up by it. Make sure your life lines up by it. And then in verse 23 again, avoid foolish and unlearned questions. There's things to stay away from, things to go with. Now, let me give you these last three or four verses and I'll be through just real quick. Here's what I'm trying to get you to see. To the dying man, Paul, the most important thing was that he tell Timothy and instruct Timothy and help Timothy to position himself to keep the truth going. Error all around. Persecution if you stand for the truth. And he's trying to get him geared up to carry the truth on. Verse 24. Paul's beginning to give him a manner of carrying out this work. And he's giving him some qualifications. Now he's telling him how to do it. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. If you catch yourself striving over the truth with someone, back out. Back away. Don't fight over truth. Not in spirit. Now you're fighting when you're defending the truth. You're in a fight, you're defending, but not in spirit. Don't be angry trying to defend the truths of the Word of God. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. You see, we spread the truth to help people. That's our purpose, is to help them, not hurt them. And so we need to be gentle unto all men. But then we need to be apt to teach. Be quick to give truth out. That ought to just be who you are. Somebody says something, this is what the Word of God says. Yeah, you're right. This is what God said right here. You need to know what the Bible says. That's your authority. Your word's no different than anybody's unless you can back it up with the Word of God. Know what the Bible says. But be gentle, verse 24 again. Apt to teach, patient. You don't teach the truth and people latch on to it just like that. It doesn't happen. That's why you train up your child. You do it over and over and over again, the same thing. And we sing the same songs and we go through the same activities. What are we doing? We're being patient until they get it. That's what you do. There's some patience there. In meekness. To be meek is to have control of your emotions. A lot of people have no control of their emotions. They just fly mad. But you can't help people if you're emotional. You have to be meek because they're gonna lash out at you. They're going to fire off on you. When you start saying this is the truth and it's contrary to grandma's doctrine, who they loved and they respected, there's a good chance they're going to attack you. And you have to be able to handle that without flying angry and firing back at them. You have to be meek because you want to help them. You want to help them. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. You have to give instructions. If God, peradventure, that word peradventure means if at any time, if God at any time or at some time will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Now here's the process that has to happen. There has to be instruction. There has to be, that's the first thing. And the man of God, if he's going to instruct, he's going to have to line up with some of these qualifications that Paul gave Timothy. And if you're going to help people, you're going to have to line up by it. And so there's instruction. And when you instruct, the next step is God's part. Now I want you to notice what it says. Let's go back. Servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Now, instruction's good, but it's nothing unless God uses it. Notice what it says. If God, now you've done the instructed, now God's going to do the awakening. He's going to take that truth. You know why God's not awakening? There's no instruction going on. There's no instructions. There's no proclaiming truth to those who are in there. But if we proclaim truth, then we position that individual for God to open their heart. Am I making any sense to you at all? Are you seeing what I'm saying in this text? I'm saying we're limiting God because we're not giving out truth. We'll give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And once they have the truth, once they acknowledge the truth, and that they, now it's up to them, three people, the instructor, God, and the one that was in deception, the captive, the one that opposed himself, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. That's how we fight error. That's how we fight false doctrine. Judaism was all around. I don't know what percent of the population was still caught up in Judaism, but a large part. And a large part of believers were caught up in it. Go over to, is it Acts 26 where Paul went to Jerusalem and they were saved, but they were still practicing Judaism? Well, it's toward the end of Acts. Y'all know where I'm talking about. Do I need to flip over and show it to you? They were still caught up. They were mixing it. They were mixing the two. And here's what I'm saying. We've got that going on today. And we're the ones that have to instruct if God's ever going to help. And here's what I want to ask you. Are you willing to be an instructor? Are you willing to suffer, be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel? Are you? Are you willing for somebody to mock you so you can tell them the truth? Are you willing for them to get upset with you so you can tell them the truth? He said, be strong. Endure hardness. Don't be entangled. It's not easy spreading the truth. That's why there ain't many people doing it. It's not easy. Because the multitudes will belittle you. Paul would go into a town and preach, and you may think he would have mega churches, but in my mind, a lot of times out of a big town, he'd start with just a handful. Just a handful. But his focus was on truth. Spreading truth, giving truth, getting truth out. He's coming down to die, and he's saying, Timothy, you got to do what I did. Chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's what you do. And I understand the preacher carries a big load, but you carry a load. Do you have any family caught up in false doctrine? Do you have any family who's caught up in their own thinking and it's false and contrary to the Word of God? It's your responsibility to instruct. And I'm not talking about in a mean way. The Bible told us how to do it. Be gentle and be meek. And don't strive. Be apt to teach. Be patient with it. But teach. But instruct. But sow the truth. That's your job. And you won't do it. You will not do it and probably not doing it because you're not being strong in the Lord. You're not enduring hardness. And I'm not putting everybody in that category. I'm just saying if you're not doing it, that's probably why. Here's what I just want to ask you to do. This is the burden of my heart, is to fight false doctrine. Because what that does is ensnares and captures men and women who do not or will not embrace the truth. And the truth, why do they need truth again? What does it do? It cleanses. It keeps you from sin. It gives understanding to the simple. It's a light and a lamp to your path and your feet. It's the only thing that'll help you. But yet, we're not spreading it like we ought to. Here's what I'm saying. Church, I don't know if... I know probably I can't... Many times I can't get the burden on my heart for a message over to you. But here's my burden. We're not spreading the truth enough. I'm not spreading it enough. And I suspect some of you are not spreading it enough. And therefore our church is not spreading truth enough. And the reason we don't want to upset the apple cart or whatever word you want to use or phrase you want to use, but the fact of the matter is we're supposed to do that knowing it'll upset the apple cart. But we do it in a loving, kind, and gentle way. Here's what I want to say to you tonight. Let's be what we ought to be. Let's get focused in, not be so entangled that we pass up every opportunity we have to witness for the Lord. And here's what I can say again. I'm going to say it again. I could have sat down on that pew and you could have preached what I preached to you and you could have hung my head. I'm guilty. Not spread truth. But the dying man, really where his heart was at, you keep the message going. You keep the truth. And I know primarily it's the gospel. But we need to just spread the truths of the Word of God. We need to spread it. And if we don't, we're failing. We're failing the Lord. We're failing Him. That's our job. And so I just want to challenge you. I just want to challenge you tonight. Let's take some lessons that Paul gave this young preacher boy so he could spread truth And let's make them part of our life so we can spread truth. And let's just not be hearers but doers. Let's be doers. And I know so many people are non-confrontational. And really, I don't like it unless I know I have to and I just gear up for it and do it. And that's just the Lord helping. But I don't like it, neither do you. And it's not going to do a lot of good unless you're gentle and patient and meek. You've got to be that. And I hope tonight, some way, you saw something out of this text that will help you be more of a spreader of the truths of the Word of God. I hope that. Because that's what we're here to do. We're here to be a light. We're here to be the pillar and ground of the truth. And error's overtaken us while we're sitting here, sitting on the truth. While we're just here in this church, sitting on the truth. Error's taking over our families and our children and our grandchildren and our neighbors. It's taking us over. Let's be what we ought to be. My, the Lord really spoke to my heart out of this text. And I hope tonight, He spoke to you. Let's bow our heads. Brother Allen, let's just have a verse of a song tonight. I'm through. And I could preach chapter 3 and 4 in the same way. It's just an extenuation. It's an extension of chapters 1 and 2. How about it? Are you spreading the truth like you ought to? While Brother Allen sings, if God spoke to your heart, you need to respond, come. If not, then we'll go here in just a minute. Anybody?